It is 9:18 at WTAD. The snow is flying. It's about 27 degrees. Feels more like 15 with the winds blowing, but we're nice and warm inside. And we're talking with Les Sponza and Reverend Dr. Orville Jones about the Unity Lodge Black and White Ball. That's coming up this weekend, Saturday.
Yes, it is, and we're excited about the ball taking place this year. It's not our first time to do this, and we are really excited about what we're able to offer and the people that are coming, and it's going to be a wonderful night.
Hey, you have a couple of interesting guests that you're, I guess, honoring. Tell me, first of all, what is Unity Lodge?
Well, Unity Lodge is a Masonic lodge. Let's see. We've been here, since 1890 or something.
Okay.
That nature has been established.
Exactly.
And it was, from what I understand, you can correct me, we had a lodge here in Quincy, and I believe there was one, I'm going to say in Mendon or something.
Silent Springs.
Mm-hmm. And they joined those together, and that's how we got Unity.
Okay.
Unity Lodge
mm-hmm.
number 16. Right. So.
Okay. And so you do a lot of different events and charity kinds of things, and is this basically a fundraiser as well as an opportunity to recognize some folks?
It is a fundraiser of sorts. We have in the past helped students along the way in providing scholarship or assistance funds while they're in college. We've helped several organizations in our area, including the Lincoln Douglas Pool and, of course, Horizon Soup Kitchen and other programs that are in the area. As a fraternity, we've tried to just be a blessing to the community itself. Mm-hmm. And so this is one among many events that we've had. We've held jazz cruises where we've invited the folk to go with us out on the Mark Twain Riverboat.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had this great saxophonist who sits next to me. I mean, he's like no other.
Well, no,
and
no.
We've had him and the band playing. And it's been, we've done a lot of wonderful activities like this. And again, this isn't our first ball. This is what I
think. Actually, this is our third.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, tell me about the ball. What's going to happen?
Well, we will have a social hour from 6 p.m. to 7. 7 to 8 will be our dinner, and then we'll have dancing from 8 to 10. And like I think we're saying, we're going to have honoring two people, mm-hmm. LaTanya Brock, who's a coordinator at the Oakley Lindsay Center.
Uh-huh. Okay. And she's the executive director of the
Chamber of Commerce, right?
Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then Superintendent of Schools, Roy Webb, who both of these people have done tremendous work in our community, you know, not from here, but
right.
have come in and contributed a lot to our community. So we thought we would honor them.
Okay.
And so.
That is good. What's on the menu?
Oh, that's going to be great. So I'll let Les tell you all about it.
I believe we are having, I believe it's that old gospel bird chicken.
Absolutely.
And some roast beef, is mm-hmm. what I understand, with string bean casserole mashed potatoes and gravy and what have you.
All served buffet dessert. Style?
Buffet style, yes.
Yes,
and
is.
It'll be held at the stateroom.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, nice location.
Nice location.
Yes.
Right.
Indoors, fortunately.
South A Street, so that's where we'll be that night.
Tickets, $35 a person, I see, and $60 for a couple. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's best if they get them ahead of time, and how could they do that?
Well, you can contact myself at 217-257-5141 or Chuck Taylor at 217-242-5377.
Okay. Or tickets can be purchased at the door.
At the
door,
yes.
If you mm-hmm. get them in advance, you're guaranteed a seat.
That's for certain.
That's right.
Certain.
That's
good.
Tickets are going really well.
You mentioned there'll be dancing afterwards.
Yes.
So who's providing music?
Well, I have revamped the Ben Bunbury and the Messengers.
Okay.
We're called the Messengers. And so we're going to provide music from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 10, we have a DJ who will be spinning.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So,
cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear the messengers are still going.
Yeah, we're trying to keep that going, yes.
And, always, and they're going well.
Always a wonderful sound when you guys get together.
Yes.
I've had the pleasure of hearing that many times, so as have just about everybody in town.
if you like jazz, that's the band, that's the group.
The folks to contact. Well, tell us a little bit more about the history of Unity Lodge and some of the things that you have done over the years.
Well, Unity Lodge is, again, it's a Masonic fraternity, and we are a Prince Hall affiliate. And as Brother Les has said, we've been in this area since the 1800s, and as has the Prince Hall affiliation. And we've grown from just being just a small group to now about 16 of us, isn't
right.
it? About 16 or 17 of us. That are there, and we're looking, you know, there are more that are getting ready to come aboard, and so we're really excited about that. You know, the Masons really stand for, you know, being good men who are learning to do things the right way, having an upstanding personality and reputation within the community. We are all about family. We're all about helping. We're all about trying to make a difference in our community, a positive difference.
Now, and some of the things that you've mentioned that you have funded or helped fund bear that out.
Yes.
That you've helped students, you've helped the swimming pool and all of that. Excuse me as I clear my throat on the air. The event you mentioned will be recognition of LaTanya Brock and high school school superintendent Roy Webb.
Yes.
Will there be some some speeches? Will they be speaking, that kind of thing, during the meeting? Or is this just here are these wonderful people? We're glad to have them here with us.
Well, yes. We hope that Roy Webb will give a speech of about a half an hour or so.
let's work for the band, right?
That. Oh, wow. Right.
That way you only need to learn one or two songs.
usually it's just the recognizing those people, and if they have something to say, fine and dandy.
Yes.
But we don't expect a long speech or anything.
So it's not going to be a long night of speechifying.
No.
Just a long night of
fun. It's going to be mostly a long night of being able to spend good time with your family and eat a wonderful meal and get some dancing. And I'm really eager to see how well Les can dance. You know,
I'm not much of a dancer.
You know,
I've always played.
Yeah,
you know,
that's me too.
I was a
musician.
Didn't play worth a darn. I played better than I danced. So
so keep it.
My preference is to be on stage.
But we're going to challenge Les this time and see what happens.
I see. All right. Well, again, this is coming up Saturday night.
Yes,
you said it all starts at 6?
Six
o'clock.
PM,
at the State Room at the corner, basically, of State and 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are available at the door, but you can also call Les at 257-5141 or Chuck Taylor at 242-5377, and this is the Black and White Ball. Thank you, gentlemen, for both coming in.
Appreciate
it. Thank
you.
This is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, Mr. Fonson. It's cool.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. We will take a break, come back with more of the Mary Griffith Show. Talk Radio WTAD is 9:35. We have about 26 degrees and snow blowing, and we're talking holiday food with Tony Dede from the Adams County Health Department and ABC. And, of course, Tony, we've got all these different food opportunities coming up, starting basically with Thanksgiving, and then there's the day after where you're watching football all day. You've got parties and parties and parties and then Christmas and New Year's and all kinds of opportunities to get sick.
Wow.
From the food.
What an introduction. And the beautiful weather that just reminds us the holiday times are here and time to get ready and prepare.
Yeah, dreaming of a white Christmas. We weren't dreaming of a white Veterans Day.
Right.
But we got one. Well, let's talk about the holiday food and food safety. Of course, first thing, I guess, the first and most important thing is proper preparation.
Preparation. And, shoot, that just starts right there at the grocery store. You know, advanced planning, making sure that you have your menu and everything's ready to go. And thinking about that when you're going to the grocery store, how you're going through the grocery store itself. You know, something as simple as we're doing our noodles, our turkey, our any
stuffing,
of our frozen
right.
and refrigerated foods. So even as you're going through that grocery store, think about going through those aisles that need the room temperature foods first, then picking up your meat, your milk, your eggs and such, so they're not sitting in your cart, sitting in your car and such as you're going home just on that simple drive.
And don't make the grocery store the first stop if you're making several stops on the day.
Right. You know, if you need to take care of some of those deals and such at the retail stores, go do that first. My wife and I have that conversation a lot. It's like, honey, you know, go do the clothes shopping first. Let's do the grocery shopping last.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, keep in mind, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, that's the event that we kind of have on our minds right now, especially with the snowy weather. It's going to take advanced planning, especially if you're doing that frozen turkey.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to get a frozen turkey in today and cook it tomorrow, not unless you want to do a lot of cooking in the oven there and letting that take up the whole day.
It does take quite a while to thaw the turkey, and you don't want to thaw it in the sink or stick it in the microwave, even if you don't have it turned on, but keep the pets away from it. You want to thaw it in the fridge, and that takes a little bit.
That is the best way, thaw it in the fridge, and you want a good 3 to 5 pounds for every day. Every 24 hours is going to take 4 or 3 to 5 pounds to thaw out a turkey.
So if you got a 15-pound turkey, you're looking at
3 to 4 days.
3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you didn't get that frozen bird and thaw it out in time, you might think about getting a fresh turkey.
Okay. Yeah.
So
if you're not going to have that time.
Right.
And then the other thing is, once you're done eating, getting food put away. I mean, a lot of people like to sit. You know,
absolutely.
They have a big meal at noon, and they like to sit and pick on the bird and maybe have a little more snack throughout the day, and that's not the best thing for you.
Right. You know, we've got our cooks that are doing so much to actually prepare the meal for us. I think it's somebody else's turn to actually take care of the cleanup and take a look at that clock and say, all right, guys, we're done eating here.
Time
you know, before the
away.
Food's sitting out too long, let's all get together and start getting this food and put in the refrigerator so that we can have safe leftovers tomorrow. Because I don't know about you, but some of the best part of...
One of my favorite parts is that turkey sandwich
the next day. Absolutely.
Mayonnaise, mustard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With the holiday, too, a lot of folks like to share the leftovers. They want to put it in containers and send it home with folks. Make sure, again, that you package that properly, and if your family is something that does that, it's not a bad idea maybe to bring a cooler.
Absolutely. Bring a cooler, bring ice packs. I like the refreezable ice packs. I've got some. I just keep them in my freezer all the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't make as much of a mess. And that carries over to preparing for the meal, because most of our meals that we have anymore, different family members and friends are responsible for a different
bringing
menu
part of it,
And as much traveling as we do, you know, think about who you're giving those assignments to. If you've got somebody that's traveling long distance, make sure that maybe they could do the pies or the desserts that don't require refrigeration. If you've got somebody, wanting to bring the hot noodles, the mashed potatoes and gravy or whatever, make them more local. You know, somebody can just drive across town as opposed to across the state, because having those side dishes, even the stuffings or the gravy or whatever, traveling long distances, if you don't have a way to keep those foods hot or the cold desserts that need refrigeration cold, you know, then you're putting yourself at risk there.
And even though you've done the proper preparation and you've cooked the turkey to the right temperature and everything is ready, if you leave it out too long,
you're asking for increased risk. And I joke about this every holiday season. You know, foodborne illness is not the gift you want to give at the holidays.
At the holidays. So what are some things that maybe we can leave out to gnash on?
Things that don't require refrigeration, things like maybe your breads or your apple pies, your fruit pies. Pumpkin pies, those should be refrigerated.
Okay.
Unless you buy them at the store already made and they're out. But that's that causes some confusions. But if you're making your own pumpkin pie, those should be refrigerated. If you're buying them at the store and they're already set out, they've got special recipes that they're following, those are okay to leave out. But if you don't know,
put it in the fridge.
Put it in the fridge. Yeah. When in doubt, you know, take the safe way.
When in doubt, don't leave it out.
Don't leave it out. And when in doubt, throw it out. That's the other saying we have, too, if you just don't know about the safety of something. Most of the time, if it's anything that we cook, typically is something, unless it's has a lot of sugar in it, a lot of salt in it. Those are some ways that recipes can be altered to lower the pH or lower the water activity level.
Okay.
But you get kind of the scientific side of things. And so most of the time, unless you're just talking about a fruit pie or breads, baked goods, those are the things you can leave out.
Okay. But then the next morning you can get out, or lunchtime, you get out the ingredients, make sure you eat them right away. And again, don't leave it sitting out on the table for 3 hours waiting for everybody to take their turn.
Right. You know, you don't want your food sitting out more than 2 hours. It really needs to get back in the refrigerator, getting back down to safe refrigerated temperatures, even your cooked turkeys, and getting those chilled down. And don't put them back in that same pot, that pan that you cooked it in. Get some Ziploc bags. Make sure they're spread throughout the refrigerator. And that gets really tough at Thanksgiving.
Sure.
One of the things that you can do is put your turkey, things that you don't mind putting in the Ziploc bag, getting those sealed up. And you can actually drop it into your kitchen sink full of ice water. That'll help get things chilled down really quick.
Okay.
Because we're stacking so many foods in a refrigerator, the other thing you can do is you can actually put sealable bags, fill those up with ice cubes, and actually put them in between your different layers of food.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because we run out of room, but at the same time, you get too much food into that refrigerator, they're not all going to get refrigerated quickly enough.
Okay.
The other thing you can do is use your freezer. Get the chilling process started, not necessarily to freeze the food.
Don't leave it in to freeze it, right.
But just leave it in there long enough to get that temperature to start dropping down quickly, and then move it to the refrigerator.
So don't do what I do when you put a bottle of pop in the freezer to cool it.
You know, right. It tends to bulge and explode.
Yeah, yeah. The next day you wonder why you're having to clean out the freezer. We are talking with Tony Deedy from the Adams County Health Department about holiday food safety. It's 9:44, and we'll be back on the Mary Griffith Show. 9:46 at WTAD. I'm Jim Dewey again, and for Mary Griffith on the Mary Griffith Show, my guest is Tony Deedy from the Adams County Health Department. We're talking about holiday food safety, and we talked a little bit here about the preparation, but there are a number of different ways of preparing a turkey, and some people like to dip it in a vat of boiling oil, and other people will bake it in the oven, and there are all kinds of different techniques.
Absolutely.
But there is one key.
Absolutely. Whether you deep fry it, whether you bake it, whether you're using grandma's famous recipe that creates the moistest turkey ever, or you like smoking your turkey, the key is it's got to cook to a minimum temperature.
And what is that temperature?
165 degrees.
Okay, 165.
And the only way we're going to know that, you know, is use a thermometer. And I tell you, I like using a thermometer, one, to make sure we're cooking all the parts of the turkey, even though it's thickest part of the thighs and mm-hmm. inside the breast, make sure that all of that turkey hits 165. But in my case, I'm a horrible cook. And so
I want to make sure that it's 165, not 195.
Right. I don't like to turn my food into a big hockey puck of unedible
right.
chunk. So it has a using that thermometer has a double benefit. One, make sure you're cooking it hot enough. But two, telling you that, okay, it's hot enough. Don't get too crazy and,
right.
and ruin the quality right. of the meal.
You see, you check the turkey in different spots, so don't just trust it in
right.
that thickest spot.
Right. You definitely want to take a temperature in various spots, and obviously you don't want to pierce it too many times because then
sure.
you start talking to some food chef gurus and such. They're going to say, oh, no, that's going to ruin the quality and let the
sure.
moisture come out. But you do want to make sure you're hitting those thickest parts of the meat, closest to the bone, because those are going to be the last parts of the turkey that actually heat up.
Okay.
And so those are the prime areas that you want to check for that 165 mark.
If you're heating leftovers, do you necessarily need to heat them back up to that temperature? Or because I mean, most of the time you just zap it in the
you
microwave till it's
that
hot.
That depends. And that goes back to what we were talking about. If you get the food chilled quickly and right
okay.
away, and you're just wanting to make a sandwich, you know, if you want to eat it right out of the Ziploc bag.
Well, that's what I usually do.
Right. You're going to be okay. If you just like it lukewarm, you're fine. Now, if you're going to be setting out another meal where you're reheating the whole batch and you're setting it out again for your family and friends to come
right.
by and kind of do it like buffet style again, yeah, I would recommend that you heat it up to 165 just to make sure you're killing off any bacteria
okay.
that has grown.
All right. We mentioned, too, you know, the parties that are coming up for the holidays, talking about maybe people coming over for a ball game. It won't be the Chiefs again this year, but, you know, maybe someday I'll have a party that I enjoy on Super Sunday. But people like to do the wings.
They
like
do.
To do the, you know, lots of little smoked sausages and stuff. And, again,
right.
we're looking at making sure those things are kept to the right heat.
Absolutely. And again, when you're talking about the wings, now they're easier to cook because they're much smaller. They don't take as much time. And, again, if it's me cooking those wings, I'm going to be using a thermometer on that to make sure I'm not overcooking them because – they're
mm-hmm.
so delicate,
right.
You could really,
right.
you know.
But again, this is one of those times where you set that stuff out at the beginning of the game, and 3 hours later, you're still watching the game, you're still noshing on those same wings. That's
right.
That's not always the best idea.
You know, if you think you're going to have leftover wings, and I don't know too many ball parties where you
I can't
do.
Imagine. I've never heard
but,
of that.
Right. It's like, oh, my gosh, they must be horrible wings if you have leftovers. But you do want to try to make sure they're hot. And you can use that crock pot. You can
mm-hmm.
use a lot of different heating methods to
find some way to keep them
keep
warm.
Them warm.
Maybe one of those little burner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't see those little Sterno heat.
Yeah, Sterno. Thank
you. That is typically used in restaurants, but that's another option, or electric skillets or hot plates or something
mm-hmm.
of that nature. Now, if you just don't have the means of keeping foods like that hot, you can use time as control. The only downfall to using time as a control is you have so much time and then there's no leftovers.
Right. Well, and another thing is portion.
Portion,
if
absolutely.
You're going to have a certain number of people over and you figure they're each going to eat a certain amount of wings throughout that 3.5-4 hours, cook half of them first.
Right.
And then
right. It's interesting you say that because I was just thinking about the last Super Bowl party I went to. They have lots of people at this party.
Yeah.
And so they're cooking dozens and dozens of pounds of wings, and they are cycling through the smoker and the fryer throughout the event, and so they're not all getting cooked at one time and setting.
Right.
And so that is one way. Do smaller batches for part of the party and then cook the rest later.
And you can always also do that for your Thanksgiving meal or whatever the other holiday meal is. Maybe you don't need quite that big of a turkey today, but if you want to have leftovers,
have a second turkey.
Have a second turkey.
Absolutely. And maybe two smaller birds as opposed to one big bird makes it easier to cook. Or just thinking about some of those casseroles and such that we fix. Instead of making one huge double recipe casserole in one container, maybe have two or three smaller batches that are cooked and bring out one container at a time, set it out on the serving line, and let the others stay in the warm oven to stay hot.
Sure. Makes too much sense. You know? That's a great idea. So if people want more information on this holiday food safety, is there a place they can go on the web that's a good spot to get these kinds of tips?
Sure. They can call us at the health department. They can go to the Adams County Health Department website. And if you're not in Adams County, your local health department's going to probably have information. The FDA has information.
USDA.
USDA has great consumer guides.
They have the turkey hotline there at USDA.
Right. And there's even a link off of our website. It's called, if you go to our website, it's called Ask Karen, and they're open.
That's the USDA site.
Yeah. Right. They're open 365 days a year. So if you are thinking that I have a problem, how do I thaw this turkey out? You can call that 1-800 number. You can message that service and look up information. And it's very interesting, some of the questions or the stories we've heard.
And again, if you're cooking a 15-pound turkey, you can't get it out and put it in the refrigerator today and have it tomorrow. You need at least 3 days.
Not without probably sacrificing the quality of the bird and the cooking time, and that really doesn't increase the amount of time it needs to cook. I mean, it's possible, but you're not going to have a new unless you're getting up at midnight.
And you're not going to have a good meal either, because that turkey, parts of it are going to be hockey pucks.
Right.
Other parts are going to be the ice that you can slide the hockey on.
Right. So. And there's bits inside the cavity, too, that, you know, they need to be thawed to before you can get them out, the giblets and such, and the bag and such. You probably don't want to cook that with the bag inside the cavity.
Oh, you're supposed to. Oh, that explains a lot. I've made a turkey, I think, once. So, Tony Deedy, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming by in the cold and joining us this morning on the Mary Griffith Show.
Thanks for having me.
We will be in again tomorrow with the Mary Griffith Show. We'll be talking about the Quincy Public Schools. And, of course, later this week, we're going to talk about a storytelling event, Arts Quincy, coming in. We'll hear more about Chris Kindle, which is coming up this weekend as well.